And hello, good people of the internet. This is Tommy Kelly, and this is, of course, the Tommy Kelly Podcast. And in this episode, what I want to talk about is a bit about the idea of how we define ourselves, or how I define myself mostly, through the different, you know, the different kind of areas of where I kind of delineate who I am as a person, like, say, through my job, through my philosophy, through my race, through my gender, through my nationalism, or my tribe, or my club, or whatever, and have a look at these kind of different things. And then, you know, kind of your personality, where you know, the different type of people, different type of traits you have as a person, how you define it, and see how it's limiting or is not limiting, or just generally having a look at how our definitions, or how my definitions, because I'm speaking about myself, are how I'm defining myself, and how I'm limiting myself, and how I look at myself, and how I use all these things. I talk a bit about sexuality and gender and stuff like that, and I'm kind of talking a bit, to be honest, a bit out of my area of expertise, because I don't really know. So if I'm trying my best not to be offensive, it's probably not offensive, but to try not to, I'm trying to understand it. So if I've come across in ways that are a bit naive, or slightly, even so far as slightly bigoted, let me know and tell me why I'm wrong, because it's something I want to understand and want to have a better view of and a better outlook, but just not something that I totally have got my whole head around, really, you know. So please bear with me in those areas where I struggle with what I'm talking about. I do try my best not to be offensive, not to be, sounds like the whole thing is really offensive. I'm offensive in that I don't understand and I could say the wrong thing. So, without any more rambling or apologising in advance, let's get straight into this. So, this past week, I got interviewed as part of a forthcoming documentary that a friend of mine is making, that will be coming out sometime next year. It's not the first documentary I've been ever in. It's the third one that I can recall that I know I'm definitely in, although I do think I'm in a few kind of in the background and a couple of things. But three ones that actually officially have me in them. One of them was about 20 years ago now at this stage, which a crew came down and to... they were doing, like, it was the final college thing in filmmaking, and they did a documentary all about me and my music and recording and all that thing. That was quite fun. I never actually seen that one. The second one was a comic documentary about Irish comics. Comics as in the art form, not as in the comedy. And that came out a few years ago, and there was a number of big names in the scene, the Irish scene, and we got interviewed. And unfortunately, all I can, when I see it and I look at it, is a huge fat neck that I have in me from, number one, having a fat neck, but two, also from the way I'm sitting the whole way through it. So it's just depressing for me to watch it. But it's on YouTube. I'll try and dig out the links for you if that's something you're interested in. If you want to see Fat Neck Tommy, then head straight on over to YouTube. This one documentary is by the guy behind the Comedy Cast. That's the podcast that I was featured on a number of times. Even though I'm not a comedian or whatever, he was trying to introduce different voices and different ideas into the podcast at one stage. And it's basically, the idea is to take a look at some fringe-dwelling people, or people who are on the periphery of life, who are doing well for themselves in a sense, or, you know, succeeding without being, you know, giant rock stars or huge comedians or, you know, well-known artists or any of these things. You know, in the sense of, you know, he's not going around interviewing people who, like, your mother would know. It's kind of like more like, basically, people like me who have cut out of kind of a niche for themselves or something, and are doing well for themselves without being, like, a household name, or, you know, that successful in the grand scheme of things. You're not being mentioned in whatever that word is, you know, normal society, polite society, people, the commonplace, public domain type thing. So there's me, there's a couple of comedians, And there's a few other people. He did tell me them all. I just can't now. My brain is just fogging up on them, or whatever. And all kind of interesting people. I'm just talking a bit about what we do. I talked about the 40 sermons, about art, about trying to make it as a musician, and delighted that I didn't. Talked a bit about the psychology behind it all. You know how it, but you know, wanting to work on your own, and how about all the different things that are involved in the actual day-to-day kind of process of doing all this. We talked a lot about the 40 servants, about archetypes, about magic in general. Loads of things. It was about an hour and a half, an hour and 45 minutes of footage, which is like will be cut down to like 7 or 8 minutes or something like that. So it was pretty good and I enjoyed it. And it was interesting because the guy who did it, as I said, he's from Spud. He's a guy I know for like over 10 years. We met on Twitter years ago. We never actually met in the physical, same physical space before, but he's someone like I talk to most days. We have a Slack forum that a load of us joined up from Twitter years ago because Twitter was getting on our nerves and we couldn't say it. And because it was, you know, the public nature of Twitter means that if you were having a conversation between us, anyone could get involved. And it was just, you know, Twitter's a place full of hate, even more than Reddit these days, which I mean, and Reddit is, you know, the home of where hate was born, the fire from which the hate was born, online hate, you know. And so it was interesting to actually meet him in the first physical, you know, physically for all this time. It was kind of odd in that you know this man really, really well, but I've never actually met him. So that was quite cool. And we, you know, obviously hit it off fairly quick and it was quite easy and natural. But the interesting thing that came out of it, which is what I want to talk about in this, is that how it kind of got me questioned about how I define myself and what I am. Because he was interviewing me as kind of this magic, chaos magic, spiritual, he wouldn't use the word spiritual, but this kind of offbeat occult character. And, you know, that was kind of the thing I do. Whereas I don't, that's not kind of what I see myself as. I would see myself as an artist and a writer. And as I say, not necessarily in that order, depending on the day. With the chaos magic and all that, it's just kind of something, you know, a lens through which I see the art and all of that kind of things. Whereas he was kind of, from what I could gather, was seeing it more as the magic came first and then you had all of these kind of other things. And I can understand how that is because, or why he would think that, because, you know, while my art is the 40 servants, which is the thing I'm most well known for, it's known for the magic element rather than not necessarily the art element of it, even though the art is like quite obviously there and it's up front. And that's, I would assume, one of the bigger factors in the type thing. But it's like if the art had no magic connotations or no connection to magic or whatever, would it be seen in the same light? And I don't think it would be. I don't think it would be as popular as art on its own because some of it predates the 40 servants and it certainly wasn't as popular as the 40 servants. So the idea of the 40 servants, the servitor, the grand servitor of the 40 servants is definitely a much more popular idea than the art on itself. So I can therefore can understand why then it would be seen as like the chaos magic guy rather than the artist who's also a chaos magician. But it's definitely in that order. It would be artist, writer, chaos magician, if you know. And that's kind of how it is on my bio. I think it could be writer, artist, writer, but it depends on the day what way I do it. I started doing comics and learning to draw properly when I was 27 because I wanted to write comics and I knew that I wouldn't be able to get anyone else to draw them or draw them in the way I wanted to. And because I wanted to tell stories. That's what I wanted to do, to tell these stories. Which is why I don't really, one of the main reasons why I don't like collaborations with other people, and I really disliked it in comics, because the whole thing of why I wanted to do comics was to tell these stories. I didn't want to tell other people's stories. I wanted to tell my own story, to get these things out of me and all that. And people, particularly a couple of people who wanted to work with me, writers in general, just couldn't understand that at all. And they were like, but this will be better, you know. If, you know, and my first objection to it might be better, it might not be better. Who's to say your stories will be better? But that idea of that, you know, two brains are better than one brain and all of that. But it's just that my goal was completely different, particularly in comics, where it wasn't necessarily I wanted to write the best comics. I wanted to write or produce the best comics I could make And it's a very different goal. It's I wanted to express myself rather than maybe further the form of comics by making great comics. I know it's a slight kind of thing between those things, but it's a big thing, and it's a big motivation change between how it's very pleasing to write and draw my own comics and an absolute nightmare to draw other people's comics. Unless, of course, to pay me, and then it's perfect and I can do whatever. It's because it's a different mode, a different part of my brain that I'm involved in. I know I'm not trying to express myself. But even working with other people, I've also often found some not. Yeah, there's particular people I have worked with have been brilliant. But so in general, working with other people on free projects, you know, personal projects, if you want, have been a nightmare because it always seems that I end up just being someone's art monkey to their ideas, and my ideas just don't have any say, and it very quickly becomes just all about what they want, particularly writers and comics, where it's like, it's, they seem to not only want to write, direct, produce, but also do all of the things, and it's like, it becomes all about them, which is fine. Just I'm not into it. I find no self-expression through that. I find no joy in that. I find no way of getting into that. It's just all because, you know, and particularly, it's fine if someone's paying me to do it. Absolutely. I can work all day. But if it's some like a meant to be a passion project, then there's zero passion in it, whatever. But so taking all that aside, I says, well, where else do, you know, because it was kind of when it not in a sense hurt me, it didn't hurt me anymore, but it's kind of, oh, that's odd that that's not how I see myself. I would, you know, and I kind of felt like I had to defend the artist in me and kind of talk, you know, about the art a bit in the interview and stuff like that, and kind of push, well, no, I'm an artist, you know, this is what I am. And why I kind of pulled back from just the chaos magic thing, because what's a chaos magic guru bullshit stuff, is that, it's because it comes down to this, is that the way I see chaos magic, or say magic or cult or spirituality or religion, is not what you are. You know, it's not something you should define yourself as, you know, what are you? I'm a chaos magician. It's like, it's that's what I am, as an artist who uses chaos magic to live his life. And, you know, but my definition of what I do or who I am is I am an artist. And it's a hard kind of thing to explain, but it kind of, think it's when you find someone who defines themselves as who they are as a person by something that they are, maybe, rather than what they do. So what does that, like, let me see if I can unpack that. It's like someone who, like, someone who's very, say, religious or whatever, and like very, like, they're, what, so you mean, what are you? And I'm a Christian. And go, yeah, but what do you do? No, I'm a Christian. And go, you know, what, you know, that should be how you approach life and approach your job or your passions or whatever. You approach it from a Christian point of view rather than that's how you define who you are as a person. In a way, like, it's hard to explain. Like, I more kind of interested in, right, so you're a Christian, but you're, you know, you're a books, you know, you own a bookshop, and you Your passion is books, but you know, you try to do it in a Christian type way. If that makes sense, I don't know if that makes sense. That might just be something very kind of odd in my head. That I'll tell you, it originally came back years ago, where I first came across it was a thing, and something. It was strangely enough, someone was talking to me about this, that they had a similar experience as well. But this happened to me years ago, and I was talking to a guy I met. Mention any names because it's irrelevant. And it was like, we were in bands at the time, we were all in our early 20s, and it was kind of like the thing, how would you introduce yourself? I'm Tommy, I'm the guitar player in the band at the time called Wendy Miller. I'm the guitar player in Wendy Miller. And, you know, someone else go, I'm Jim, I'm the barman or whatever. And then this guy, it was two guys, but it was like they would introduce themselves as, I am Fred, not his real name, I'm gay. Or I'm hetero, you know, I'm a homosexual. And that was like how they defined themselves was their sexuality as being homosexual. And it struck me as something that was odd. And it was also the first real kind of homosexual people I had met that, you know, the very openly thing. And I was I was 19 actually when around this time, and I just left, you know, I'd moved out of my house, so I was quite young and impressionable, all these things, but I just found it odd. But at the same time, like, I wasn't homophobic or bigot, you know, I wasn't, hadn't any form of bigotry in me towards the gay community, right? Like, there was none of that kind of thing. But it just struck me as that I thought it was odd that that's what they chose to define about themselves. Something that, one, they had no say in whatsoever. You know, that's the way they were born. And that was the thing they kind of put forward as being the most defining person, part of their thing, of who they are. And if it was a heterosexual man doing that, it would be even worse in a sense. You know, there's nothing worse than the, you know, the stereotypical, you know, macho kind of overly sexual man. It was interesting at the time. There was another friend of mine who was also in the same kind of gang or the same way, who was like the male version of that, who was very, you know, I'm very heterosexual, I'm very into women, very, and not in the kind of I'm secretly gay way, although who knows, but in the kind of that was the defining thing about him, was about going out and, you know, having sex with as many women as possibly. And I found it odd just that they would define themselves in that kind of way. And, you know, like, at the same time, like, do whatever you want. I'm not, you know, while it's kind of judgy in a sense, I don't mean it in a judgy sense. It's, you know, but it's like as if they were, in a sense, using their sexuality as how they would answer to, well, what do you do for a living? Well, I'm a gay person, you know. And it's, I just found that odd. And I find it odd in why they do it. And I suspect what my suspicion is that it's still because, particularly at that time and still now, that homosexuality is still somewhat of a taboo in many ways. And that's why they kind of define it as that thing first, in kind of, if you're okay with this, then we can be okay. Maybe, like, I'm speaking for other people, like, when I don't really know. But it's like kind of, you know, that kind of antagonism of that, like putting that out there. This is my thing. Maybe I've had a lot of pushback in all my life, so I'm just saying it, like, getting it out there in that kind of a way. And the kind of taboo thing of it is probably less now, but I don't know, like, if it is. Excuse me while I drink something there. My throat was getting a bit dry. And it had me thinking then about, like, what way would other people kind of define it? So it's like defining yourself by your sexuality as if it's your job, it is what you do. In the way that when I was introduced myself at that time, it would have been, I'm Tommy, I play guitar in a band. And it would have been Fred, not his real name, I'm homosexual. And there's part of me that kind of doesn't understand it, and a part of me that doesn't, that kind of feels wrong for not understanding it, or I feel in some way that me thinking that's odd is in some way kind of bigoted, maybe, or wrong, or homophobic, or something like that. But if it was, as I say, I found it as equally odd that the other guy was like that, you know, the very heterosexual type of ladies man, if you want. But having said that, the way the guy did it, the homosexual guy did it, has stuck in my mind more than all of the countless heterosexual guys, you know, that I've met over the years, who are very, you know, define themselves by their sexuality. So there is some part of it that it stuck with me more than the thing. And it probably, I suspect, is because I'm not homosexual, and you know, it's something that I picked up because I see that then in a sense as other, and I don't mean that as an exclusionary type thing, but just, you know, someone is different from me in a different way. In the way that I would never define myself as white, other than on the internet, because in the society I'm in, it's all white, you know, and that's not, and even by saying that, that kind of feels as if that's a bit racist, but it's just the truth. There's very few non-white people in Ireland. There's an awful lot more than there used to be. There's a, you know, there's an awful lot now, and it becomes kind of more prevalent that you see different things. And I'm all for it. I think the whole thing of you know, mashing up the nationalities or the gene pools and all that is a great thing. But most of the kind of people we have here, the foreign nationals, as we call them, are Polish or Ukrainian, you know, so they're still white. Well, I assume that Eastern Europeans defined as white. I don't really know what the definition of white is, Caucasian, what the thing is, because, like, I assume Russian is, you know, Polish, Ukrainian, all of those Far Eastern type things. But it's not, so it's not something I would ever define myself as. Whereas suspect in America or somewhere that's more multi-racial and all that, it would be something that you would have as a definition a bit more than I would. You know, so it's that thing of I don't describe myself as heterosexual, because it's the white is the norm here. Heterosexual is still seen as the norm here, just by numbers, I suppose, or because, you know, it's still... it's coming out of the ashes of a Christian nation or whatever. An interesting story, a really nice story that I came across recently on Instagram, was about a woman saying that she hoped her son never comes out to her. And first you'd go, oh, what's this kind of thing? But her thing, it was really nice. Her thing was saying that, I hope he just arrives home one day with his boyfriend and goes, here's my boyfriend, I want you to meet him. Rather than making this kind of coming out kind of thing, because the coming out kind of thing and having to do it, it's announcing in a sense that I am different. Here's something that's wrong, and you know, here's something against the norm that I have to make an announcement about it. In the way, I never had to make an announcement to my friends or my family or anything that I was heterosexual, but yet there seemed that there's coming out of this thing of the homosexual thing that you have to, you know, come out and make this announcement. She was saying, no, I hope that he doesn't, that he just arrives with his boyfriend as if it was normal. My words, not hers, because it is normal, and that's all. And I was like, I like that idea and that kind of thing, which would conversely, you know, not conversely, you know, because it normalizes the whole thing. And the fact, because as I was saying, the homosexuality thing is still probably slight taboo, which is why people would define themselves and maybe push it forward that way, and I understand that. It's because that still is that you have to announce that you are different to the clan or to your family or to the tribe or whatever. So I'd like to see that go, that, you know, that definition of the thing where people wouldn't have to define themselves in a sense up front as their sexuality, because it's not, you know, everything has become normalized. And that got me then thinking, you know, that the next thing other than that, so I have what I do, which is, you know, I'm an artist, what my philosophy is, which is chaos magic, what my ethnicity is, which is white. And then you have, you know, this whole thing of gender, which has just blown up massively over the last while, or at least is openly talked about a bit more. I'm sure it was always an issue or whatever. And it's... that some of it feels very, you know, when you read about it, and it's definitely the way it's put forward in different circles and different things, that some of it really does feel very ridiculous, and about, you know, that there's the whole thing of that there's, you know, there's no genders, gender fluid and all of these things. But I also think that maybe 100 years ago, you know, it was seemed as ridiculous, you know, black people and white people in America, well, you know, aren't segregated, or in South Africa, or, you know, that just they're... What do you mean we will never have, you know, black people will be free and that they shouldn't be slaves? You know, that seems a ridiculous thing. So all of these type of things, when I come across and in some way kind of feel ridiculous, not all of the gender stuff I think is ridiculous. I mean, some of it when it's really pushed, you know, I identify as this, and you have people who are, what was the one I heard recently? Like, the guy who identified, he's 60 something, but he's decided he's identified as a 40-year-old. And he kind of, but that seems all a bit ridiculous. And I know that is kind of a pushback on the gender type of thing. And where does, you know, where is the line? Where do you pull the thing? You know, where do you stop the thing? And what I always think of in that is that, well, that's kind of the same argument that people used to give about gay marriage. Well, you can't have gay marriage because what's next? Are they going to start, are people going to be allowed to, you know, marry dogs or marry animals? And that, you know, that's a ridiculous argument. So when people go, oh, well, if if someone decides that they aren't a gender that they were labelled at birth, then people go, oh, well, what's next? Or am I able to, you know, identify with whatever age I want to be? It's, you know, it's not really the same. But I don't know, the long short of the whole gender thing is I don't really understand it, and I don't get an awful lot of it, but I know I'm probably wrong in all of it. And I think the gender thing is probably this generation's kind of thing that they have to deal with in the way that the previous generation, say my dad or my mum or whoever, would have to deal with the whole gating or whatever. Possibly, you know, maybe not. Like, maybe it'll all blow over or whatever. But the thing that I have found about the whole gender thing is that chaos magic, there is, like, in real life, if you want, you know, bunny ears, real life, and what is real to Tommy, as Robbie would ask me, and it's whatever's going on at the moment, I suppose. But in real life, what I mean by that, and this is like actual physical life, people I've met physically in, you know, not cyberly or internetly, I've never met a trans person that I'm aware of. I've never spoken to a trans person about the whole thing. I've seen a few over the years on this, walking down streets and stuff like that, but I've never actually spoken to one that I can recall. But I've spoken to numerous amounts of trans people on the internet. And one of the reasons is because in chaos magic, it seems to, you know, really be attractive to the trans community. And I totally get that, because the whole nothing is true, everything is permitted. You know, it's all about subjective truth and subjectivity, and about that your belief is more important than, say, the reality. And that's not to say that, you know, that the belief that you are a different gender than you were born with is just a belief in that kind of sense, because, I mean, there's obviously a physicality to that as well. But I understand why it's attractive to the trans community. And I would be interested to know, and I don't know how you would ever know, that would there be a far higher percentage of trans people in the chaos magic communities and groups and forums than there would be in the normal, again, what a word, in your standard forums, whatever. Does it attract more people, or is it just now more out in the open than it ever was? Like, am I wrong in thinking that the whole ethos of chaos magic is attractive to trans people? Or anyone who, you know, is going through any kind of a physical change. Like, there was that guy in CMG who wanted to be a werewolf. And I don't want to mean to compare trans people to someone who thinks he wants to be a werewolf. In some ways it is comparable, in other ways it's not, in the same way that gay marriage does not lead to people marrying animals. But there is some kind of, like, it's kind of... chaos magic would be attractive to people who want to be werewolves, in the same way I can understand that it would be attractive to people who are trans and who also want to transition into something else, or not even in something else, already feel that they are. Look, here's the thing about all of these things, when I'm talking about race, when I'm talking about gender, when I'm talking about sexuality, when I'm all of that, I am always kind of totally on the defence all the time, because I'm so afraid of saying the wrong thing. And because it's so easy to say the wrong thing, and it's hard to keep up with all, you know, what is kind of, I was going to say what is right and what is thing, but it's like words change that you're not allowed to say one, and hyperbolically or exaggerating, I'm going to say it, like this week, and next week it's something else, but it does seem to change, and the conversation seems to change an awful lot, and I don't find myself ever caught up in it, and I'm just so afraid of offending someone or saying the wrong thing. And like, I know by saying that other people are going to be offended by it. You shouldn't give a fuck what other people think, and you know, it's not your fault if other people are offended, but I'm not, that's not who I am, that's not how I work as a person. So I kind of skirt around all of these kind of ideas and these thoughts and all that kind of things, and I haven't really spoken about them before on the podcast because of that, just that kind of thing that I'm afraid of getting it wrong rather than afraid of offending people, because I don't know enough about these things, and I'm trying to be open and learn more about them. But I am like the white male first world, you know, part of the patriarchy or whatever that is, and I'm not outside of the, I'm not a fringe dweller in the way that possibly these other groups are treated. Like, and so again, I don't want to talk or speak for these other people, and I don't want to just give my opinions willy-nilly, because I know they're probably wrong and I know that they're probably offensive, but I know them with that, it's with the knowledge that I'm trying my best to. And remember, like, when it all comes down to the chaos magic thing is, I like, be whoever you want to be, do whatever you want to do, all of those type of things. And that's like one of the fundamental things that I disagreed with, if you want, with when I was going through my Jordan Peterson phase was that, like, he would hate chaos magic. He would hate that entire idea. It's like, it's a postmodern idea in a sense, that the chaos magic, the whole idea is that you can be whoever you want to be because beliefs is the most important thing, and, you know, nothing is true, everything's permitted, all those things. So that the objection of whatever he would have about trans people, you know, it just wouldn't be a conversation in a sense in chaos magic circles, or at least shouldn't be. I have seen it as being kind of a conversation, which is odd to me. But the thing I would always say about where the limits of chaos magic and all that kind of thing is that do whatever you want to be, all of that goodness, but never force that on other people. You know, like this unverified personal gnosis where you find out some truth about the world or about yourself and then demand, excuse me, that the rest of the world accept that as truth too and get angry if they don't. And so while, you know, that would kind of be my cutoff point for magic, occult, and, you know, all of these type of thoughts where I can, you know, use your beliefs as your tool, as we are, you know, as prescribed by chaos magic, but don't force those beliefs on other people. So don't, one part of me would go, don't make your beliefs legal on other people. Don't make your chaos magic get other people fired because you've demanded that that's the now the legal thing. But with the huge caveat of all that is that that's not right in a lot of circumstances. It's like the only reason that, you know, there's gay marriage, there's black people aren't slaves, or a whole host of other things, is because these people demanded the legality of their equalness. And rightly so, you know. So, I mean, it's more than just forcing their UPG onto someone else and demanding that their truth is, it should be society's truth. It should be allowable. A lot of these things definitely should be allowable in society and are normalized in society. So I don't know where the cutoff point is, like, because the whole thing with the trans thing was that unless, you know, you called people by these 100 different, you know, pronouns or whatever, there was a chance that you would get fired. And part of me goes, well, I don't know if that's true, if that, you know, if that's a good idea, because, like, what, you know, where does that end? You know, do I have to call people whatever they want to be called when it's to do with gender? But what if someone, you know, again, getting into it, but what if someone wants to marry animals? It's like, where's that cutoff? Where's the cutoff point or whatever? Where do I find it acceptable? I would find it acceptable. I would call anyone anything they want it. There is, it has to be some point where people shouldn't get fired over it or in trouble over not doing it. You know, there has to be an allowance where people can be rude rather than legally, you know, a recourse legally to do it. And I don't know where it is, and I don't know. I'm glad I don't have to make that decision. I'm glad that law is not on my shoulders, not my burden. So I don't know. Like, I mean, I definitely think trans exists. You know, I think I know too many people who are born, say, male and feel female. The gender fluid thing I have a harder time with because I just don't understand it. I don't get it. And it seems to kind of negate kind of trans in many ways, where if a woman genuinely feels that she's really, you know, she was born with female biology but is actually male, then it kind of negates that and said that, well, there's neither male nor female, so you shouldn't have those thoughts either. That could be me just not understanding it, though. The gender fluid, saying that there's no such thing as gender. And I don't get that, because obviously there is, and I know in a physical sense there is, but that they're saying that from a society point of view, everything else is just imposed or made up, or all these things. You know, male, female doesn't exist outside of, well, I mean, it physically exists, but mentally doesn't exist, or it's a construct that, you know. And then I don't know. I don't know in that. I don't know that argument. I'm not going to try to straw man that or anything. I definitely feel male. I definitely feel biologically male. But who knows? Is that just because that's what I've been told? And of course it is, because everything is just what I've been told. But there's people who were brought up who went through the same conditioning as I have, who didn't come to that natural conclusion. So there has to be more than just kind of brainwashing. Maybe. I don't know enough about the subject. And again, I feel I'm talking out of my wheelhouse. Is that the expression? Or out of my comfort zone, certainly, but out of my area that I have any sort of expertise in. As if I've expertise in anything. So then we have the going through the things. It's what I do, what's the philosophy behind it, my sexuality, my ethnicity, my race, whatever word, my gender, and then how would I define myself as, you know, and then you have a national kind of thing where you're, you know, your country you're from, or the tribe, the town, all of these things, which is that seems like the least real out of all of these things, in that literally because you were born in this thing you have to hate or other people, or you have to have these opinions with other people, or you know, you have to feel that you're superior to the people who live, you know, 20 miles away from you or in a different country, or that in some way you're a collection of people because you were all born around in the same land, but people whose parents weren't born in the same land, who were born at the same place, I don't have the same, you know, heritage, if you want. Well, they don't have the same heritage, but they don't have the same tribe. You're not part of the same tribe, even though you have everything exactly the same, you, other than, you know, there's some sort of history that's slightly different than in the past. I don't, it's like, I'm not a fan of tribalism. I'm quite happily, say, are you proud to be Irish? I'm not unproud of it. I'm not, it's not something I'm not ashamed of it. I'm not, I like living in Ireland. I enjoy an awful lot of the things that come with being Irish, the culture, the fun, the mentality, all of those things. But, you know, let's integrate everyone who wants to come over here. You know, let's mess up that gene pool and let's, you know, get us all. We're all humans. And I definitely feel that way. And I would probably be... Is it racist if you're kind of, you know, you go too far, in a sense, not too far, but you're go out of your way to be not racist? You know what I mean? Where you'd be super friendly to people who are foreign nationals who come in to try and make them feel welcome and all that. It kind of is racist, though, because you are pointing and segregating and treating a different group differently because of the race. It's positive in the thing, but it's still not normalised. That's the whole thing. So ultimately, you could keep going into all of these things and, you know, the different things that define yourself. And like, I'm an angry person, I'm a depressed person, I'm a sad person, I'm a happy person, I'm a religious person, I'm a useless person, you know, I'm a failure, I'm a success. All of these things that we define ourselves by, all of these kind of constructs and all of that. And other than the... I was going to define which, and they're all kind of constructs, they're all mental constructs, in the sense of I come from an idealism outlook where it's all consciousness, we all exist within one consciousness where you're the focus of consciousness, within a greater consciousness, but it's all made up in a sense. And these are all the stories, the definitions we have are all the story. It's the story we tell about ourselves and who we are. And I think it's definitely the reality tunnel you look down through. And there's part of me that kind of understands when people go, well, I identify as, you know, a white person, because I identify as a black person. One part of me goes, that's utter ridiculous. Another part goes, well, from a case magic point of view, why not? You know, it's just, I don't think we're quite there as a society. Like, I mean, we don't live in a chaos magic society, you know, and we don't have that. So the part of me that is both, but of course, and then I'll be, but, you know, that's utterly ridiculous. But they are all just constructs, are all different things. But some of them are easier to break down than others and get past, whatever. Like, there's no way I can get past being white because I'm white. You know what I mean? Even if it is a construct and something. Because that's where society is and we have kind of put us. Same as the gender thing is kind of, it's changing. It's been more fluid, all these type of things. That'll be interesting to see where that goes. The national thing, that probably is going to go fairly soon, you know, relatively hundreds of years, whatever. I think there's one moral government, all this kind of stuff that could be a nasty version of it, but it'll seem to break down a bit more. Oh, I hope it does, you know. I hope that it becomes a bit more integrated and people are just people, you know. People are people. what you do, I think that that's definitely the one you have the most control over, what, you know, how you define yourself in that way, like an artist, a fireman, any of these things. My suggestion on that is to, you know, keep your philosophy, if you want, separate from what you do, you know, what, like your, or your religion, your spiritual outlook, all of those type of things. Keep it, not, don't define that as who you are as a person, simply because you can end up not doing anything or not going anywhere with that. You know, you can be, why, I'm a magician, yeah, fine, but what are you doing with it? You know, what benefit to your life is that? You know, where are you channeling that? What are you creating? Where are you going? And it doesn't have to be anything big. I don't mean it like, you know, let's change the world, unless you want to change the world. But it'd be like, I think it's, for me, it's more interesting. Like, I'm a nurse who, you know, chaos magic nurse who channels this into, you know, my philosophy is chaos magic, and that's how I approach my healing or whatever, rather than just, I'm a chaos magician. Because I think, judgy head on Tommy, a lot of people who do that aren't actually doing anything. You know, I mean, you can study it, I suppose. You could be the armchair magician and have all those kind of things going for you, and, you know, do it from a studious point of view. But again, I suppose acquisition of knowledge is a worthwhile event and all that, or worthwhile thing to do. And, you know, maybe write a book or do something. That could be just me, though, what my kind of guilt of having to do something that I've talked about before, you know, like last week when I was talking about, you know, doing stuff just for the sake of pleasure rather than, you know, for responsibility, duty, all of these things. So that my kind of need of not just allowing myself just to go, I'm a magician who writes and is artist, that I need a channel, that could be coming from guilt. But I don't know, I think there's something, I think you probably should be doing something with it rather than just stagnating with it or enjoying it for the sake of it. You know, up to you, may you decide that one, that's up to you. All the other stuff is definitions then. Well, you know, I'm an angry person, depressed person. There's a lot to be said, and I think you can probably change your mind about these things and certainly improve or unimprove it. And, you know, you do limit yourself by your definitions of who you are. Something we can't get past, you know. Some of them, they're just too embedded in you that you just can't, you know, you just can't get past it, and you can't move on. Like I say, you know, bereavement can be very hard on people. You know, breakups of relationships can destroy people. You know, that can really dent them in, and, you know, really have them, really give them a bad definition of themselves, or, you know, as failures or as unlovable and all that. Some of them are hard to get out of. Like, so I talked about last week about the depression thing and all that. That can be hard to get out of, and it's not just a simple case of change your idea, change your mind, because there seems to be a physicality to some of these things as well. And while ultimately idealism would say that it's, you know, it's all mind and all these things, that's all well and good on a grand scheme of things and all that. It's harder to do when you're in the moment, in the body, in the kind of sense, you know, trying to deal with it. Like, big picture stuff is great, and it's a great way to think of it, but, you know, try big picture stuff when your dog dies. You know, it's not the time nor the place or whatever. So you have to be human at it and all that. So this kind of all over the place, as if every podcast isn't all over the place. It's just kind of me trying to work around these different things of how we define ourselves, or how I define myself, and what it is that I hold on to, that I think is real. Ultimately, none of it's real. What is malleable? What is fluid? What can be changed? What isn't true? You know, what am I not allowing myself? Where am I defining myself and not defining myself, or not allowing myself to have these kind of definitions or these kind of thoughts about myself? And it's an interesting place, and it's one I would advise you to go down and have a look around. And, you know, so how are you defining yourself? What's your thoughts and all of these things? So I'd be very interested in hearing what everyone else thinks about all these things. And again, please know that I come from the right place, or a good place, and all of this stuff. And I'm trying to work it all out rather than to cast too much judgment or too kind of. It's more I'm trying to be discerning or articulate about these kind of thoughts in my head to get them all out. But I know that I don't know enough about, I certainly don't know enough about the gender stuff to really have, you know, much of a say in it. And so I've probably veered very wildly on that. Defining yourself as who you are, as by your sexuality. Again, there's definitely something in me there that's picking up on the the homosexuality as other rather than the heterosexuality. So I apologise for that. I'm aware of there's something in it. But I do also think there's something odd in that defining yourself as who you are by your sexuality, I think. There's something that I'm either not getting, not understanding, or there's something feels a bit off about that. In the same way that defining yourself by your nationality seems a bit off to me as well, or your tribe, or, you know, your town or something like that, in that kind of real sports sense. There was a guy who I was in a club with not so long ago, and he joined the club not that long before me, but he was like really into the whole club, you know, and loyalty and this kind of stuff. And I was kind of, I don't understand. It's like, I don't have that. I don't, you know, it was like, he was like, these are the rules. These are how you, when you're in a club, this is what you do. And you know, you gang together and whatever. And it's like, it's a stupid club. Like, it's, why is there this kind of tribalism thing and this need for loyalty? You know, you can't, even at the detriment of your own goals or, you know, you can't do this. You can't go and hang out with another tribe or another club, even though it might improve, you know, you couldn't go to another talk by another club because that's, you know, you're letting your side down or something. It's just all this kind of ridiculousness that I don't understand. Anyway, as usual, no real conclusion to this, no real, more just talking it through and trying to come up with some answers or some ideas or, you know, a wider picture or something to look at than any kind of conclusions. But as always, we're interested to hear what you think about all of these things. And yeah. So that was another episode of the Tommy Kelly Podcast. And if you enjoyed that, then you can go to TommyKellyPodcast.com, and that will bring you to all of the other episodes. There's 75, 76, something like that now. And that's TOMMIE for Tommy. Spelling it slightly different than the standard. If you want to know more about me or more about all of the other stuff I do, if you just go to Adventures in Woo Woo, which is WOOWOO.com, that'll bring you to everything. That'll bring you to the blog. You can find out about the 40 Servants. You can find out about the YouTube channel. The podcast is there. All of the things, that's the hub of all those things. So rather than all giving all individual different kind of URLs out, just go there, you will find out everything. So, good people of the internet, may you have a wonderful week. May all of the things that you try to do this week work out really well, because I'm still having technical difficulties, so every time I go to do something, things do kind of fall apart. But having said that, and you must acknowledge the good when the good happens, when I was doing the upgrades to my computer, everything went seamlessly, everything went well, and most things, for the most part, worked the way they were meant to work. And it was like a dread of mine going into that, because usually when I try to do things, everything falls apart and everything is made much harder than it used to be. But for some reason, and I praise and thank the gods, that that all went really well, and so that was a nice thing. So may I wish that for you, that whatever you're attempting to do this week, may it go easily and smoothly, and, you know, things work out the way they're meant to work out, and things work the way they're meant to work. So, good people of the internet, be well, and I will talk to you next week.